Welcome to Slug's bi-weekly Slug Soundwaves podcast. Here, in our print mag and on slugmag.com, enjoy our curated content that highlights the best of Utah's alternative and underrepresented music, arts, events, and community subcultures. If Slug has benefited you or someone you love, consider contributing to sustain our existence. Head to slugmag.com/donate to join our community of donors.
KRCL was founded in 1979 to bring a more diverse voice to Salt Lake City and surrounding areas. KRCL is community funded and supported, which allows diverse commercial free programming that varies from indie to hip hop, blues to bluegrass, metal, punk, indigenous, and bilingual programs. Every weekday at 6 p.m., KRCL's Radioactive brings you grassroots activism and civic engagement with punk rock farming and live local music on Fridays. Tune in to KRCL at 90.9 FM. Stream at krcl.org or download the app on the App Store.
Looking for the hottest Halloween party in Salt Lake City? It's happening at the Utah Pride Halloween Ball on Friday, October 31st at the historic Masonic Temple. Strut your stuff at Utah's highest state costume contest with over a dozen categories and a $2,500 grand prize for best costume. Plus live DJs, food trucks, and a multi-floor dance party you won't forget. This 21-plus fundraiser for the Utah Pride Center is the only place to be this Halloween. Presented by UAF Legacy Health, supporting a night of queer celebration and fun. Get your tickets now at utahpride.org.
This sounds fucking dumb. I don't know what I'm saying.
That sounds good. What are you talking about?
I like that, though. Can't we leave that and have the episode where I fuck it up?
I'm JP, and this is another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground. It's the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and we're one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S., and we distribute free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. Today, we're going to be speaking with the writers of our online feature, Napalm Flesh, about their favorite music from 2011. Napalm Flesh is our online exclusive metal column written by some of the more metal-savvy writers on our Slug staff. We update it every Thursday, and it features interviews and columns on local, national, and global metal bands and albums. For this show, we're going to be speaking with six of those writers for a roundtable about their favorites of 2011. Today, we're going to be speaking with metal coordinator Briar Wharton, writer-photographer Megan Kennedy, and writers Henry Glasheen, Gavin Hoffman, and Dylan Chadwick, as well as contributing editor for Slug, Ricky Vigil. From Ricky's album pick of the year, Funerary, this is Pulling Teeth's Whispers. That is from Pulling Teeth's fourth album, Funerary. What do you think of that album and that song specifically, Ricky?
I think it's a really cool album. Their previous album came out on Death Wish, and this one they released kind of on their own. Their guitarist, Dom Romeo, has this label called A389 that puts out a bunch of really cool bands. They put out some stuff from Integrity, and they're a band that influences Pulling Teeth. They have kind of a hardcore sound that's influenced by metal. And this new album is actually really cool. They've always had really cool thrashy parts in their songs, and the first half of the album is super pissed off, just super fast thrash influenced hardcore, and then the last half hour of the album is just these super slow dirgy songs. Some of them don't even have very much structure. That song, the part we just listened to, has a guitar solo, and that's like one of the weird soul guitar solos in the second half of the album.
What does everyone else think about that song? Have you guys heard this album at all?
Yeah.
I've heard the album. The song's sludgy. I like it.
I don't know. Pulling Teeth, I've seen them a lot. They're a band that's really hardworking. I mean, they haven't been around for too long, but they've got a ton of material out, and they do kind of have that Clevo sound working for them. In that song, there was really like some Lee Dorian kind of vocals that were kind of unorthodox that I really dug. But there's like the band is just full of like really, really influential and smart people. I don't know, great band. I hate that they chose that name, because when I was younger, I wanted to have a Metallica-influenced band called Pulling Teeth. But that's cool. Like, they probably did better with the name than I would have, so.
That's big of you to say. Gavin, you were agreeing.
Pulling Teeth is really kind of hit and miss for me. On some days I really like them, on other days I think they're garbage. But I did listen to, I think, that full record and possibly the full length before that. I know I listened to that full length, the A389 stuff. I try and listen to everything on A389, even though it's all kind of similar stuff that's been released on that label. And it's good, but it didn't blow my bush back. But
what does blow your bush back?
The Muppets. But there, like I said, I mean, there were actually days when I went in and I would listen to that and it was actually really, really good. And then other days, you know, just didn't do much. But I'm a picky asshole, so my opinion doesn't mean shit.
They have a bunch of crazy shirts that say, like, God Free.
Yeah.
Like, that's like their big shtick. Like, I remember I saw them. They opened up this fest that I saw in 2007 in Richmond, and like that was like their whole thing. And some people like really like connected with that, like just block letters, just as God Free Youth. And like, I don't know, some people were kind of bummed on it because it seemed kind of gimmicky. So
Bear Trap did the same thing though. When Bear Trap was here, they had a shirt that on the bottom of the design it says God Fearing Youth, but it's got comma after God, so it's God Fearing Youth.
Oh Lord.
Yeah.
One of the things, to go back to the art, the guy who does most of their art actually passed away before this album came out. And Funerary, the whole second half that's all slow and sludgy, is inspired by not only that guy dying, but the parents of a few family members actually died. So that's why the whole second half of this album is just super slow, super, I wouldn't say subdued, but it's not the crazy, thrashy, super fast stuff that they usually do.
Maybe more contemplative.
Yeah, I would say so. And it ends really weirdly with a baby crying. I don't know what that means, but I don't like that part of the album.
I don't ever like babies crying.
Not to be a vinyl purist dick or anything, but it's actually, that record is one that's probably better listened to on vinyl in context, because you have the one side, like Ricky said, that's really fast and thrashy, and then when you flip it over, it actually kind of makes more sense, whereas if you listen to it continuously as a CD, it kind of seems a little jumbled.
Let's move to Dylan Chadwick right now. The artist we're going to look at right now is War Hungry. This is from their self-titled debut. The song is Shift. Everyone seemed to be nodding their head during that song. They really liked that. Dylan, what do you think about that song?
It's great. War Hungry is a band that they've been around in some fashion since like I was in high school. I think I first heard about them in like 04, 05. They kind of started off as sort of like just a heavy hardcore band. A little, not to name drop Integrity this whole thing, but a little bit of Integrity influence. But
it's
like
a decent band to name drop.
Absolutely. If you're going to name drop any band. But with each subsequent release, they got more and more complex, and when I found out that they were going to be making a full length, I got really excited. I really like it because, like in that song we just played, like there's a little bit of synth in there, which I think really, really accents the song well. I mean, it's just a total riff fest. It's just good. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like some of later era Danzig. And I know like cynical people like to talk about like Stone Temple Pilots and stuff. It is pretty much the riff from Wicked Garden in that song. This is a band that I really, really like, and they kind of lay low, and they'll put out a record and then go back into the shadows, and you won't hear about them for a long time, and then they'll put out something else. So I figured I should shed some light on this one.
Ryer, what did you think about that?
I have not heard of the band at all, but that's the good collective of our metal writers here. I just wanted to say it sounded like Metallica and Faith No More had a baby in that.
Wait, good Metallica and Faith No More, or
yes,
bad Metallica and Faith No More?
Fair enough, that's a good summation. And Megan?
It's old school sounding, but the beat is so, it just grabs you. I think that's why how can you not nod your head or headbang to that, dude? It just,
it's got a groove.
Grabs you by the balls. Yeah. Yeah,
it's definitely
nice.
Got a groove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the vocals are very fitting.
I saw him in like, okay, this is the last time I'm going to do this. I saw him in 07, and the singer, he has like a bunch of other bands, like, but he came out and he's wearing these like John Lennon sunglasses, and they opened up with Into the Void by Black Sabbath, and I went nuts. I went so crazy. Like, I think I was like the only kid there that recognized that riff, because a bunch of dumb hardcore kids at this fest. And I've always remembered that, because they were playing to a hardcore audience, but they were playing Sabbath riffs. And like, I think that's like a pretty good like symbol of what the band's kind of about. Like, They're metal dudes.
Note to listeners, dumb hardcore kids have no idea about Black Sabbath.
They should.
That's where it all comes from, huh? Let's go to Briar Wharton's pick right now. This artist is called Immolation, and their album is Providence. This is a song from that called Illumination. Also, some pretty good response for that song there, Briar. And what were your thoughts on that?
Immolation, they've been doing death metal since death metal started, and they've always been the kind of the underrated heroes of death metal. And that song is actually from an EP they released this year, which, interestingly enough, was funded by Toyota Scion, a car company.
I forgot that Scion put that out. That's
they
right.
gave the band money to record those songs, and it gave them an excuse to tour, and it's just, the whole EP is extremely heavy, well produced. As far as produced death metal goes, that's the way to go on that EP. I got a soft spot in my heart for him because I got to talk to him, find the interview in the magazine if you want.
It's in the October 2011 issue.
I got to talk to him a couple times and got to see them live for the first time after years of wanting to, and they wound up dedicating a song called No Jesus, No Beast to Slug Magazine and myself because of what we talked about made such an impact on the band, which is cool in and of itself as a writer, but Immolation just makes me want to go out and beat the crap out of everything.
It's really powerful. That's awesome. The bassist Ross Dolan said about this EP in comparison to Majesty and Decay, he said it was a little darker and heavier.
It's more ominous, and that was a key theme when I talked to him, what he was saying about just being ominous of how things, the way things are going in this world, of how the apocalypse could be, is basically happening now, and if things don't change, there isn't going to be anything left.
That's a Chromex song.
That's an interesting concept. You guys have chosen a musical genre that most people don't like. Let's just come out and say it, right? Because it brings up certain themes that people are uncomfortable with, like you just mentioned, Briar. And where do you think that plays a part in music? Do we need it now more than ever, or should people just keep listening to their pop bullshit? I guess that's kind of an obvious answer, but what do you guys think about that?
They've always had it. I mean, if you look back at themes and in myths and things, before music was like how it is, it's the world ending and that stuff like that's always been a theme. So I think we'll always have it. There's always a place for it. Somebody will find use for it.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty broad theme in death metal that you find a lot, where it's kind of focusing on contemporary issues and kind of the political climate. And you don't see that a lot in other genres, to be completely honest. I mean, there's actually a lot of analysis of current events, and, you know, it's really good to see that sort of focus coming through, even if it's a detested genre.
I think it's interesting with death metal anymore, that really pulling a lot of the, I hesitate to use the word politics, but a lot of the themes and things that old punk bands used to be all about, them death metal bands pulling that into their shtick anymore, whereas when they, you know, a lot of, really when death metal started, it was, you know, about eating babies and, you know, things like that, and it's kind of, you know, some of the bands are still doing things like that, but a lot of the other bands have taken a different route, so to speak, and kind of picked up on a lot of the old punk rock themes, and they do it in a much darker way, though. They're a lot more forthright and a lot more kind of the end is nigh than punk used to be. Punk was more just, you know, when they started pulling in a lot of politics with it, it was more just, you know, we hate the fucking government, etc., etc., and death metal has taken it to more of, well, you know, we've pretty much fucked everything, and look what's happening to us now.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like there's been a shift in those genres from focusing on religion as a theme, as a dark theme, to the politics stuff. Like, except
depends,
you've got your exceptions. Yeah, like that.
American,
like,
band?
Like, no. Behemoth,
yeah.
And stuff's always touching on.
They're from Yonkers.
Yonkers, yeah. No, you're right.
Like, you've always got your black metal guys like Behemoth that are never going to not touch the religion, but it seems like as a whole, they're moving away from fighting the religious stuff and moving more into, like, actual, maybe not political, but just social causes. And
to an extent, I mean, I think that they still, I think a lot of death metal, / black metal, / whatever metal you want to call it, still, you know, is kind of, I guess, fighting the religious fight, so to speak, but they've realized that whereas in the past they made, you know, religion is the biggest enemy, they have kind of, it seems to me anyway, realized that, yeah, religion is an enemy, but I think that, or, but these bands have started to say that humanity is an even bigger enemy than just religion in and of itself, and have kind of taken that, and that's come to the forefront. So you've still got your uber anti-religious, satanic, whatever bands out there doing it, but I think a lot of the bands that have been around for a long time have kind of realized that that's kind of small potatoes, and a lot of it gets really hokey.
Well, not to mock the genre in the song that I chose, Immolation did start out as very anti-religious, mm-hmm. and they just moved forward, and obviously your ideas about things are going to change as you grow in life.
Well, a lot of the death metal bands that are still around, like Immolation, you know, that started back in the 80s, even the early 90s, I mean, they started when they were kids.
Yeah.
You know, they were 16, 17, 18 years old.
And they were using that punk ethic.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, not to drift away from the metal thing, but one of the most interesting things I ever read about a band was Bad Religion. When they were asking, it was an interview I read, and they asked why Bad Religion picked their name, and they basically said it was a name to piss our parents off. And so when you get these kids starting to play music, you know, death metal, black metal, whatever metal back then, and they're such young kids, what are they doing? They're rebelling, and they don't want to do punk rock. They want to do something even gnarlier. So taking it from there, the obvious thing to attack is religion. You take it from there, and then as you grow older, as you're playing music, you realize that, oh, you know, there's more ills in the world than just religion. So you kind of expand, and you grow up, and you get better musically, you get better lyrically, and your ideals start to round themselves out a little bit better. So you, in a sense, kind of distance yourself from it while you remain tied to it.
I think, like, the ultimate, like, with death metal, like, the best band to really look at, well, maybe not best, but I mean, if you look at Death, the band Death, I mean, if you look at, like, early Death is Scream Bloody Gore, and then, like, the late Chuck Schuldiner stuff and Human, and it gets a lot more complex, and they've completely moved away from, like, blood drinking and, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that, which is great. I love when bands do that.
There's only so long that shit can shock you, you know?
Yeah.
Although, in fairness, the newest Autopsy record did make my top five.
Autopsy
still.
Oh yeah.
And they still are sticking to the same thing that they were doing when they.
Is there a bunch of stoners?
Oh yeah. Like, oh yeah.
You can't remember.
Speaking of our top five album list this year, you can check that out in our December issue, and that is a release that you picked, right?
Yes.
Although, strangely enough, the only person on our roundtable today that didn't include a song from one of their top five albums, but that's all right. It's better to be the exception, right?
Not really.
Sorry, Gavin.
All right,
we're all about conformity. Come on.
It's time to do our daily, weekly calendar rundown. We've got some...
Weekly.
Did I say it again?
It's our weekly daily calendar rundown.
Daily calendar.
Same thing. Let's get the birthdays out of the way really quickly. Happy birthday to Liz Phillips, T. Doan, Jesse Anderson, Ben Trendelman, and some guy named Jesus. And let's go right into the shows. Dust Bloom, Holdra, We Drop Like Bombs, and the Chevalier at Kilby Court. Ricky, what's going on with that show?
Yeah, that's mostly a bunch of local metal bands. Huldra actually just put out a really cool EP that's some atmospheric metal, kind of like Isis, Rosetta, stuff like that. And I believe we're listening to some of their music underneath the talkings of our metal writers for this episode.
Oh shit, that just happened.
I grew up with their bassist and lead singer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, we got a vote there. And on Thursday, December 22nd, Tolt Shock Trio, The Rubes, and The Watches are going to be at Urban Lounge. By the way, that Dust Bloom show is Tuesday, December 20th at Kilby. And Friday, December 23rd, there's this local group that, so-so, Invaders is gonna be at Burt's Tiki Lounge. Gavin? Gavin's reading a decibel. Well,
why are you looking at me? Fuck you want from me?
You forgot who they were, Briar?
No. Gavin's a drummer in Invaders. They're really rad.
Shut up.
But it's their first show back in a while. People are pretty stoked about it. It should be a cool show.
Are you like, you guys sound like Iron Maiden?
Yes.
Called Invaders.
That's where we got the name.
Seriously?
Yeah, that tight. That's okay. Actually where we got the name.
I'm not laughing.
But they don't really sound like Iron Maiden. I mean, not really.
And Friday, December 23rd, Birthquake, Palace of Buddies, and Giraffula will be playing at Urban Lounge. I just talked to Seth Cook from that Giraffula project, actually, and it's going to be a pretty interesting show. So check that out, and you can go to our website, slugmag.com, for our daily calendar listing, or go to the back of our hard copy magazine. You can check out more events going on in town. Let's get back into the music with Megan Kennedy's pick. This is Protest the Hero from their album Scurrilous. The song is Moonlight. That is from Protest the Hero. They're a Canadian band. That album was released on March 22nd on Vagrant Records. And Adam Thomas of Sputnik Music said the album was, quote, a lot less jarring when compared to their past work, with the transitions between the light speed arpeggio runs, tight modern metal riffing, and mathy stop-start section seamlessly binding it all together, end quote. Do you agree with that, Megan Kennedy?
I do. Protest is amazing. I interviewed Roddy back in March, I think April maybe, when they came here for their show, and they're just so creative in the way they build their songs. And they're one of the bands I admire because, I mean, for many reasons, but one, they've never, since they've been in bands since they were like 15, never changed members, these guys. I think that's created a real cohesive and creative environment for them, where their songwriting is just, I don't know, they just blend together so well. It sounds like everybody's doing these crazy different things, but it creates this beautiful sonic landscape. Their past albums had a lot more, first of all, Roddy didn't scream at all on this album, on the new one, on Scurrilous, which I think was an interesting choice for them. I think it's contributed to that, the jarry transition, but losing that to them being a little more seamless, because his voice is so fucking powerful. I think that quote's correct. I think that their past albums are just a little more refined on the new album.
Are you guys familiar with the band as well?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Decibel Magazine, however, gave the album a 5 out of 10. I don't know if everybody else would agree with that or not.
The one thing that strikes me is that the vocals are clean. I've not really listened to the band before, but all the other songs we picked, the vocals are pretty hard. That's one thing that is kind of something that really divides tastes a lot, and I think that might divide tastes within our group as well.
Maybe. I don't know. I thought it sounded a lot like, reminded me of like At the Drive-In, you know, that kind of like early 2000s sort of stuff.
A little mathy.
Yeah, definitely some mathy stuff, and obviously like the guitar work was really like intricate, and they're not a band that I regularly listen to, but I wasn't repulsed by what I heard, so that's good.
Well, part of this roundtable is so we expose you guys to more songs, and so everyone can kind of get a different take on things.
We were all playing air guitar, so
yeah,
we're doing something, right?
We all did that.
As the saying goes, prog out with your log out.
That's right.
No, there's a lot of new bands taking on the progressive rock and metal realm these days, and it's hard territory to cover because it's been around since the 70s, and making it something new and exciting vocally and just guitar-wise, among other things, is really hard to do. So when you stand out, or even if you find something you really enjoy in that genre, it's something to hang on to.
But let's be real, there's only one Rush, and there will only ever be one. So.
Thank the fuck Crush for that.
We can just move on.
Literally?
Okay. Because Moving Pictures is so good.
Don't make me punch you.
Alright, I guess we will move on then. Thank you for that, Megan. Henry Glashing. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, you are.
Fan-fucking-tastic. The artist is Uncle Acid and the Deadbeats. From the album Bloodlust, this is I'll Cut You Down. We talked about grooves a little bit earlier. That song definitely had a groove. They're self-described psych garage horror rock from Cambridgeshire, England. And that album was recorded in a dilapidated barn called The Slaughterhouse. And it's a concept album about a drug-crazed witch hunter.
Yes.
Please explain, sir.
Well, I've actually been kind of into the whole emerging psychedelic, merging with more of proto-rock type influences that you hear in England. You hear stuff like Electric Wizard, which is more in kind of the stoner metal end of things. But it's all kind of like this weird satanic vibe where like everyone's kind of coming together and doing these weird rituals all over the album. And it's just kind of like funny because the band doesn't come across as kind of overtly aggressive like you hear with most metal. They come across as kind of like more like Coven or Black Sabbath or even like Blue Cheer type stuff.
Black Widow.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you familiar with this group at all?
No, that's actually, I've heard the name. I've never listened to them before. That's definitely super, super bluesy. Like really, really bluesy and really, really fucking groovy, actually.
Something you'll listen to?
Yeah, oh yeah. That would definitely be something I would listen to. It might not be, I mean, it would definitely depend on mood for me, but that's definitely, I'm impressed with that, actually.
It was great. I thought it was awesome.
There's something that reminds me of Dax Riggs, especially his solo stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see that.
Love mm-hmm. Dax Riggs.
Just that, like, all his, the stuff he done with, like, Dead
Has
Boy
that,
Nail
like,
from
stomp,
just,
like,
yeah.
That, like, da-dun, mm-hmm. yeah.
But that dark, like, mm-hmm. acid-y, like, scary basement under something mm-hmm. that Dax Riggs yeah, always sure. has, like, mm-hmm. just creepy surgery in a dirty room.
That actually, the one thing that really stuck out to me, listening to that, and this is maybe just coming from being a drummer, was the hi-hat pattern, the bluesy hi-hat pattern he had going on there. You don't really hear most modern stuff, even that's trying to go, for lack of a better term, retro. You really don't hear anything that simplistic and that, you know, that bluesy around anymore, or people doing stuff like that. And that just really, really stuck out, actually. It's a really, really simple pattern that he was doing there, but it fits the music so well. It was really good.
You could honestly tell me that song was written in about 72, and I believe
it. And actually, that really, to an extent, really reminded me of, I don't know if you've heard of a band called Sir Lord Baltimore.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard, like, very little of it, but yeah, I definitely liked what I heard.
Aside from the vocals with Sir Lord were a little more high-pitched, mm-hmm. but musically, I mean, it really reminded me kind of a lot of that.
Did that blow your bush back, as Gavin would say, Ricky?
I would say so. It was really cool. I mean, we've talked about, it seems like bands keep coming up over and over, but, I mean, Black Sabbath, the super thick riffs, the groove, I just thought that was a super cool song, and we all instantly thought, damn, this is really cool, right when that song started.
That's true.
Going back to the integrity references earlier, if you're gonna name drop
yeah,
bands,
sure.
or if you're gonna
Sab, dude.
Yeah, if you're gonna name drop, or if you're gonna rip off a band, you know, do it from the best.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I would say, just to editorialize a little bit, that is probably out of all the bands we've heard tonight, one that I'll definitely listen to again, because I'm a huge fan of that kind of genre, and Black Sabbath is really influential for my tastes in metal and music in general. So thanks for pointing that out, Henry.
No problem. They're all self-produced and self-released, so you have to buy it directly from them. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really fucking cool.
Yeah, you're
going
to have to find that stuff. It's really
That's great.
And now let's speak with you, Gavin. Not the least, though. You're last, but we're going to
do... I like being the least, though.
The artist is Thou. The album is The Archer and the Owl. Owl with an E, and the song is Something in the Way. From The Archer and the Owl, that was Something in the Way. It's actually a Nirvana cover, and this is an interesting album from Thou because it has a few covers in it and it has some other stuff, but as MetalSucks.net says, it quite literally picks up where their last full-length left off. It's full of the band's distinctive dredged melody and the tortuous crawl of their sludge-slash-doom riffs.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. Actually, I mean, it was really hard to, as you said earlier, you know, I was the black sheep, and then I picked something that wasn't on my top five. And that's simply because I think that this is, it's actually an EP that was released, and I actually thought it was really interesting because it's one of, they've done a lot of cover stuff on several EPs in the past, and Thou is a completist's nightmare because they put out so much shit. It's just absolutely insane. This Nirvana cover was actually really kind of intriguing to me. They did Sifting on an EP called Baton Rouge You Have Much to Answer For. But this one, when I first heard it, I knew it was a Nirvana cover, and I was really interested to see how they did it. And it took me a few listens to really actually like it, quite honestly. The first few times I heard it, I thought it was terrible. But the more I listened to it and the more I heard their take on it, I thought it was really, really interesting. And Thou is one of those bands that unfortunately is kind of turning into every wannabe hipster metal kid's like jizz band.
We call it beard metal.
There you go. Beard metal. But they're one of the few bands that I can really think of that take two of my favorite genres, which is doom and black metal, and can kind of pull it off without sounding really fucking stupid or really hokey. And they do it really well. So I thought this EP kind of deserved to be spotlighted a little bit, even though it didn't make my top five.
Yeah, their sound is really cool. I really like that you can download pretty much all of their music from their website.
Mm-hmm.
But like Gavin was saying, they do combine those kind of disparate influences. Like, it's super, super slow, super thick stuff, and there's this crazy screeching. Like, it's just, it's hard. I mean, I thought it was hard just to get in the band in general, just because it's so intense. Yeah, it's really abrasive, but
Thou is one of those bands that the first time you hear the band, you're almost immediately either going to absolutely despise it or you're going to fall in love with it. And I first heard, I can't remember if it was Tyrant or Peasant that I first heard, and it had been recommended to me because I was into a lot of the doom metal stuff, and I listened to it and I thought it was okay. It didn't really, to use the term again, blow my bush back, but I thought it was all right. And then it was one of those things that just kind of stayed on repeat and kind of kept playing and kept playing and kept playing. And after, I guess it just finally clicked with me. And from that second that it clicked with me, I've spent untold amounts of time trying to track down their stuff, and it's nearly impossible.
They produced so much this year alone. Mm-hmm. They've released two EPs and a split 12-inch with Cower.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like that one?
I did. Actually, I think that the one that I really liked a lot was called A Fair Quarrel, and that was a split.
Is that with Moloch, or is that with someone else?
They so split many that with. Things.
For the audience at home, we're doing some smartphone research right now.
I'm actually gonna find it right now.
I'm gonna pad.
Human Intruder.
Human Intruder. I have that one in the mail, actually, on the way to my house.
Was who they did that one with. And I actually got that from, I can't remember what band it was. It was touring at Raunch, and the dude had a distro. I didn't even know that was out. And that's, I mean, it kind of sucks. Integrity, to go back to Integrity.
Let's talk it.
Has been doing the same thing lately. Integrity, it's like every 2 weeks they've got something new coming out. And Thou has been kind of the same way for about the last 3 years.
Some Integrity beer koozies.
Uh-huh.
Henry, are you familiar with Thou at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I listened to their Peasant EP when it came out. I can't remember when exactly that was. But they kind of remind me of that sort of like Sludgy Neurosis vibe, where they kind of mm-hmm. bring in the dissonance and the, but they don't take it in more of a melodic direction. They really do just try to make it as atonal and fundamentally abrasive as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I kind of enjoy that about them, and it does make them a very divisive band when you approach them for the first time. But yeah, if you give them time, they do definitely kind of grow on you when you kind of appreciate it a little bit.
And Briar, are you familiar with these guys at all either?
A bit. For a second there, it kind of sounded like that Night Salad band I've heard about.
Night Salad, huh?
One of my favorite local bands, of course, Night Salad. Thank you, Briar. Fucking awesome. All right. Any final famous last words from the metal writers, Napalm Flesh crew?
Nobody said cunt.
Cunt!
That needs to happen.
Oh, my. In case anyone hasn't done it yet, because this is one that I did put on my top five, and it may be a little bit different for me unless you know me, but pick up the newest Anthrax record, Worship Music.
It's great.
Right on.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and everybody else out there, pick up the December issue of the Slug magazine, because we have all your top fives, and I'm guessing mostly metal albums, guys?
Actually not. Mine's actually a lot of pop. I'm not being sarcastic at all.
It's one of your jokes?
No, I'm not. No, this is serious dealing right now. A lot of A lot of pop stuff.
It looks very serious right now.
So people will have to check out Napalm Flesh for more of your metal
writings.
That's how
I exercise my metal demons, is through Napalm Flesh.
And thank God Napalm Flesh is there. And speaking of, it's the season, the holiday season last year, I recall. Who wrote that metal poem?
It was myself and actually my wife, Lindsay.
You guys wrote a great poem. What was it called again?
The Night Before Metalmas, I think.
Yeah, that's what it was called. Go into our archives, check out last December's Napalm Flesh. It's one of the best poems about a metal Christmas that you could ever fucking have.
It's probably the best poem ever written by someone.
That is definitely true. All right, thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Go forth and do metal.
All right. Yeah.
Thanks again for listening to another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground. And for more info about the music, interviews, and guests from this episode, please visit slugmag.com. And remember, if there was something about the show you liked or didn't like or blew your bush back, you can call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan, with associate producers Jeanette D. Moses, Ricky Vigil, Esther Moronio, and Jonathan Paxton. Our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our theme music was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis, with our main logo and art design by T. Doan. Technical design was by Kate O'Connor. Make sure you listen next week for our top five podcasts with a handful of slug writers we're going to quiz about their top picks of the year.
Did you enjoy this episode of Slug Soundwaves? You and the local community can continue to enjoy Slug Mag's content for free, but please consider making a one-time or ongoing contribution. Each contribution, no matter the amount, helps support Slug's creation of thoughtful media coverage on SLC's music, arts, events, and community subcultures. Head over to slugmag.com/donate to make your contribution today.